In our gospel today, we hear for the second time in Advent about John the Baptist. By this time, John is in prison for irritating all the wrong people. He had a talent for this. He had spoken out against Herod, the governor of Judah. He had called the religious leaders hypocrites, liars, and cheats. He was a rabble-rouser. And by this point, John had collected a pretty good-sized crowd of rabble. His followers were pretty upset with the government and their lot in life, and they were seen as a threat by the occupying forces of Rome, who Herod, the governor, kept trying hard to please. So Herod thought, I know what I'll do with him. I'll put him in jail. And soon John was beheaded. Now, John had a particular calling in life, but he didn't have a job description. It was his role to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. His problem was he didn't know who it was. He didn't know when it's going to happen. This week, next month, 10 years, who knows? All he had to go on was a feeling, an idea, an inner sense that God was going to raise up someone to save his people. Now, John had heard about Jesus. In fact, they were cousins. But John still wasn't sure. So he sent some of his disciples to meet with Jesus and to ask him, are you the one we're looking for, or should we wait for somebody else? So Jesus, in typical fashion, doesn't give him a direct answer. Wouldn't it be nice if at least one time Jesus just said, yes, the answer is A? No, he makes us think. Instead, Jesus pointed to what was going on. He said, tell John what you see. The lame walk, the blind see, leopards are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. John had to figure out who Jesus was. So do we. See, a simple answer is not good enough. We can't go by somebody else's experience. We need to feel it ourselves. See, it's one thing for Jesus to say that he is our Savior, but if we don't experience that, if we have not felt the need for saving, we're not going to have any idea what a Savior really is. If we have not experienced the joy and the relief of being found in the pit of despair and hopelessness and being brought back, if we have not been grasped by the feeling of love without limits, then we're not going to know what a Savior is. If we do not know forgiveness for the worst thing we have done, especially those things we are sure we cannot be forgiven for, then we do not know what a Savior is. Instead, for us to know just who and what a Savior is, we need to experience it. We need to feel it. Telling us isn't going to do any good. Having a Savior is not a matter of having the right answer. So when John asked if Jesus was the one, Jesus told him, look at what you see. The blind see, the deaf hear, the poor have good news brought to them. There it is. It's not very traditionally religious-looking stuff, is it? But it is life-changing. And that is our job description. That is the work God also calls us to do. We get to make a difference. We get to make our lives matter. We get to show others what God's love in us feels like, what it tastes like, how it looks, with our actions and with our words. John had nothing more to go on than a feeling, an inner sense, a calling from God. Each of us also has a calling from God in our lives. Now, I know we might think, oh, yeah, but it doesn't apply to me. We have all kinds of reasons, sometimes excuses, for why we are sure God is not calling us. We will say things like, oh, I'm not religious enough. I'm not quite sure what I believe. I don't get the whole God thing. I don't know much about the Bible. I've done too many things wrong. I'm no saint. I can't talk in front of people. You may have other reasons, too, why you're sure God is not calling you. Well, here's the news. God does not call people who are perfect and sinless. God does not want all of us preaching on street corners, and God surely does not need more stuffy, super religious types out there. God calls real people like you and me, to carry out John's role in the world today. John is long gone. Now God has us. Lucky God, huh? Well, we dress better, right? We're not wearing camel hair clothes. We don't eat bugs. And we have so much more available in our lives than John ever did. We probably are much better educated. But regardless, we are what God has to work with. And what do we have? We have a feeling. Maybe a sense of inner call. We may also have some fear and apprehension. We might think we don't know how to do it, and that's okay. God does not need us to be eloquent or clever or bright. God needs us to be real and authentic, to speak and relate from our hearts, not from our heads. You see, how God is calling us is always defined by the times and the context we live in. John went into the wilderness, preaching, prepare the way of the Lord. There's a wilderness all around us right now that needs a Savior and sometimes doesn't know it. It's a wilderness of fear. For some, a wilderness of the heart. Now we know the ISIS and ISIL crazies, they are thinking up new ways to threaten us. They're now recruiting followers online so they can pop up anywhere like fruit flies. In our country, there have been 355 mass shootings this year. The economy is still limping. Homicide rate in the city of Milwaukee is on par for a new record. Roughly half the children in Milwaukee do not get enough to eat. What's worse than hungry kids? And unemployment in the city is still extremely high. So yeah, there's a wilderness. Now, in our world, when we face stuff like this, the common response is point at somebody else and tell us it's their problem. They did it. They're the cause. Our world that is quick to believe in Santa, but not Jesus, has gotten so skeptical and hard-bitten about God and all things religious that any mention of it is often met with a sneer or dismissal. But that does not mean we quit. Instead, it means we love. See, we are called more to live like Jesus than to simply talk about him. So John is gone. Now God has us. And God has special things for us to do in this world. And most of the time, they are not huge public things, and it may not look religious or holy. Instead, it will be something about taking care of somebody who is so alone it hurts. Comforting those who are owned by fear. Healing the lepers of our time. Feeding the hungry. I just learned this week that, recall, we packed a bunch of meals here in Lent. Okay? Found out some of those meals went to Liberia at the height of the Ebola crisis. Some of those went to hospitals in Liberia. Now, you know, sometimes Pastor Jen and I, we visit people in the hospital. One of the things they will do is complain about the food. Okay? In Liberia, they don't complain about the food in the hospital. Here's why. They don't get any. They're not fed in the hospital. If you're in a hospital in Liberia and many other third world countries, if you want to get fed, family members or friends need to bring it to you. Meals are packed, fed people in hospitals in Liberia. Look at what you see. You tell them. Has the Messiah come? It'll be about caring for people with our actions and not just our words. And not only at Christmas, but in July and in October. Now, our skeptical, hard-bitten world may reject any words related to God, but it will still listen to love and mercy, comfort, generosity, and compassion. God has us, and through us, we get to invite the world to get ready to receive the gift God is sending in Jesus. Peace for our fear, calm for our worry, confidence for our anxiety. Now, I can't pretend to tell anybody specifically what God is calling you to do. That's something we each need to figure out ourselves by listening to God and looking within for that feeling, that sense of how God is waiting to make a difference in this world with you, with your gifts that you have been given, and how, like John, we get to point to Jesus, the one who saves, who brings healing, hope, and new life. We may not feel like we have all the answers. That's okay. John didn't have all the answers either. But really, don't people who have all the answers make you a little nervous? All John did was call God's people to turn away from the darkness and get ready for God to come to them in Christ, to get ready to experience and feel what it's like to be saved and given our lives back again. Now, John is no longer with us. Now we are here, and we get to carry the message. Get ready. God is coming to you in new ways. Get ready. This is what we're being called for. Inner calm, peace, hope. The feeling of going home to a place in the heart where we are loved, accepted, and welcomed, where we are wanted without conditions. Getting ready to receive God's gift in Christ is not just about Jesus. It is also about us, whether we will receive God's promise in our lives. Amen. Let's rise for a hymn.